All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would, please. We are excited about the missions conference this year. Looking forward to what God's going to do. I thought maybe that Chase was having a party with Mr. Etheridge, and then I realized that Mr. Etheridge is over here tonight, and so... Just kidding. Yeah. He's checking in, make sure he's over there. That's good. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'd almost root for the Packers because Miss Berenson is a Packer fan. She's sweet enough to make me kind of root for him, but almost. Just can't help myself. Piercing the darkness, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father, we're thankful tonight that we can gather together. And Lord, although there's a lot going on in the world, there is a greater cause that we have to meet for tonight. And I pray in the moments remaining, Lord, that you would help us to consider the mission that you've given us to do. Consider the job that you've left for us, the ministry that must be done. It's of dire importance. And I pray that you would help this church in this community to pierce the darkness of the world. And Father, we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. It seems that every time we turn on the television that the world is just very simply getting darker and darker and darker. Not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. The things that we see in our society, the things that we see on the television, the things that we hear on the radio are things that 10 years ago you would not have saw, 20 years ago you would not have saw, 30 years ago I wasn't alive, but I guess I was a little bit. But some of you know that you're just shocked today by what it is that we find, and it just doesn't seem like the world is getting any better at all. It's just darker. Immorality and idolatry, inclusivism runs rampant, not just in the world, but even in religion and in churches. Worldliness and wickedness have a death grip, it seems, on our society. Religion supports the enemy. Sodomy and lesbianism now fill the pulpits across America as they support it, but they also preach their own message from churches. People live for pleasure and have grown apathetic to the things of God. My father-in-law and I were discussing the other day how that 83% of evangelicals do not believe the exclusive claims of the Bible and that Jesus Christ is necessary for salvation in a poll that was done. And you just think, even, you know, the world's dark, but then church is dark many times in the wickedness that prevails. And it was such darkness in the world, the question is begged, what do we do? What is the answer? Jesus Christ, we are told in the Bible, built the church. And though the devil would desire or try to destroy it, and the world would try to ignore it, if we stay true to God's Word, the Bible tells us the gates of hell cannot prevail against this church, against the church, against Central Baptist Church. And it's not time to close our doors or to close our Bibles or to close the door to our prayer closet. It's not time to shut down the Christian school or the bus ministry or the visitation program or the soul winning emphasis. It's not time to quit on Faith Promise and worldwide evangelism. Christ desired for us not to run from the darkness and not to run with the darkness, but to pierce the darkness with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. It is our responsibility this evening as we stand here and sit here tonight that we need to understand that what God wants and what God's desire is for us is to pierce the darkness of this world. If Paul and the apostles could do it, so can we. We have the same Bible. We have the same God. We have the same salvation. We have the same Holy Spirit power. And it can be done. But the question begs, how then do we pierce the darkness? We see in our passage two steps in piercing the darkness. Number one, first of all, we need to realize our ministry. We need to realize the ministry that we have. The Bible says in verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. The Bible here in verse 1 gives the phrase, this ministry. It's the only time in the Bible where the word ministry is not connected to an article such as a, an, or the, where it's saying the ministry and kind of a general reference to the work of the Lord. It's also the only time where it's used where there's not an article or an adjective that's attached to it, meaning the difficult ministry or the godly ministry or whatever, having an adjective kind of describing the ministry. But it is specific in its reference to this ministry of carrying out the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who do not know Christ as their Savior. It is this ministry that we must realize that we have and see what it is. In piercing the darkness, it is the ministry of every born-again child of God to share the gospel. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them and teaching them everything that I've taught you, teaching them to observe it. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, the Bible says, how shall they hear without a, anybody? Preacher. It's the job of the Christian to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The senior ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. It is what we say. It is the ministry, not of the pastor and not of someone who's on staff and not of someone who's the Sunday school teacher, but of every born again person. It is their job. It is their obligation before God. We have this ministry of carrying out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It came natural. It was just a byproduct of following Jesus Christ. If I get close to God, I'm going to have His heart on the matter. And God's heart and Christ's heart were for the salvation of the lost souls of mankind. And so as we follow Christ, the closer we get to God and His Word, the more our ministry of sharing the gospel and seeing souls saved, the more that will become apparent to us. It's amazing to me when people get right with God. We go to camp and we love going to camp, and young people make decisions for the Lord, and they spend an entire week looking into the perfect law of liberty, and they get things right with God. And one of the top three things that they always come away from camp is this: I need to share the gospel. And the fact of the matter is that most of the preaching at camp isn't anything about sharing the gospel. It's just common sense when a Christian gets right with God that they know that I need to share the gospel. It's not I need to work in the nursery. It's not I need to serve here. It's not I need to drive a bus. It's not I need to sing in the choir. It's not I need to teach a Sunday school class. Although those things are important, they are necessary for the growth and the edification of the church. But the Christian ought desire, and God's desire for our heart is this, that we share the gospel. It's my ministry. Not as an assistant pastor, but as a Christian. It's your ministry. You say, well, wait, I don't have a title. I don't have a. I just come here and I sit and I. Are you saved? Then you have a ministry. You have an opportunity. And if you don't, there's also one on the corner of the building there watching kids get run over by cars or whatever. I don't think that guy's going to be there next week. So, Pastor Matt, you know, I'm busy doing a lot of other things. I mean, you don't understand. No, I think I do understand the busyness. But the fact of the matter is, if we're too busy to share the gospel, then understand we're too busy. We're too busy. We're too busy. You say, but I'm not saying we're doing wrong things. I'm just simply saying we're too busy. The Bible tells us that we have this ministry. And the Bible goes on to say, as we have received mercy. It references the salvation that we have. We've received mercy from God. We've received mercy from Jesus Christ when He died for us and He saved our soul. And as we have received that mercy, it is our ministry to therefore pass it along to someone else and to show someone else what Jesus Christ did for them. I stand here tonight because there was a man named Vic Logan who noticed there were five boys that ran in the holler down in Missouri, and he went and he witnessed to their family and he asked if he could bring them in his Jeep to church, and they brought my dad and his brothers to church, and my dad got saved, and later on my grandma and my grandpa got saved and they came to church. And I stand here tonight because someone understood that even though they were just an average church member, even though they were a war vet, even though they didn't feel like they could have much to offer and there really wasn't much they could do, that they could go and share the gospel with someone and lead those people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is so vital for Christian people to understand that we have a ministry. We may not have a title, and we may not have an office, and we may not have a place of prominence, but we have a ministry of sharing the gospel. And it's so vital. It's so vital to the people around us. The Bible goes on to say that we should not faint. For this cause we faint not. We don't give up. We don't quit. There was a discouraged preacher in Europe who wrote to a Scottish preacher named Alexander Wyatt, and he wrote in this letter how he was discouraged and how he was just going to give up. And Mr. Wyatt wrote back to this preacher and encouraged him and wrote this very simply. He said, "Never give up. The angels around the throne of God envy you and your work." Do you understand that God did not give, although He could have gave the angels the work of sharing the gospel? The angels and a chance to say, "Man, God, I could do a better job than that. We could go down. There is somewhat of the angels looking into the mystery and the wonder of the salvation that you and I have experienced because of Jesus Christ. It's the song the angels cannot sing. And so we must never weary, we must never quit, because we are the only ones with this ministry. We must realize our ministry. You think about last week, revival. What do you do with a week like that? I mean, you go home and you got to take your shoes off right away because your toes hurt so bad. Mr. Farrell just jumped all over him. What do you do with a week like that? I mean, what's going to, after we sit through all of those meetings and we heard all those things and we're convicted in our hearts, and we say, "Man, I'm going to," what? I mean, what will be different about your life this week after hearing the Word of God, after being challenged by God's man, after being convicted by the Holy Spirit? Will anything change? You know, when we think about 50 people being saved, that's great. But it is not the end of revival. It is the beginning. That basically just outlines our work for us. It says, here's the people that need focused on right now. And the reality is, this pastor can't do it all, and I can't do it all, and there's not enough people here that are here on a full-time basis to do it all. In fact, it would be kind of stealing a blessing from someone in the audience to do it all, because it's the responsibility of the church to realize our ministry. Say, "Well, they're already saved." Well, yes, but the ministry is not just sharing the gospel or seeing someone come to the point of salvation, but it is the Great Commission, where we go and we teach them about baptism. We see them baptized. We see them discipled to observe everything that it was that Jesus Christ taught, to a point where they themselves will go. They themselves will know what it is that God wants them to do with their life. And it's a huge responsibility that is laid. It's a great opportunity that is laid at the feet of Central Baptist Church to invest in the lives of 50 people. Think about this. Have you ever had a meeting here at this church with Brother Farrell in the past 5 years where more than 50 people received Christ their Savior? Yeah. It happened the last time he came here. We did. And it was great. And it's really quiet out there, so I hope I'm not trying to come across cynical. I want you to think about this. We had the pastor and I talk about this, and we had the men's breakfast a few weeks ago. And pastor, I need some men that got saved in a Tom Farrell revival meeting to give a testimony. And you know how many we had here? Two. And one was assurance. And again, I'm not picking on anybody. If anything, You know, some of it goes right here. But where did they go? You know, part of it is their own issue. I know they've got a desire to grow. They've got to want to be here as well. But some of it falls in the lap of us. I mean, we just got to be real honest. We have a ministry, a responsibility. When we see someone born into the family of God, it is our obligation to come alongside of them and to help them grow and to get them out of that newborn stage and the milk of the Word into the meat of the Word through time as we invest personally in their lives. I get to preach once a month now for the rest of the year. I'm excited about that because I don't have to finish my message. I don't feel any pressure. I'll be back. And we'll quit right at 7, I promise. So, Pastor Matt, how do you do that? How would I invest in someone's life personally? It takes, first of all, understanding that we have a responsibility to it. Maybe there's someone that got saved and they were in your neighborhood or near you or on your way home. There are some people that would have been here tonight if someone would call them and say, "Hey, I know that you got saved last week, and I was wondering if you need a ride to church." We said, "Pastor Matt, they've got 3 cars in the driveway." Well, that's not really the point. The point is getting them here, and they might not come. They probably won't come back if somebody doesn't go after them, because they got saved. And they're glad for that. And their life really in a positive way is changing in a good way. But they don't know what they don't know. We do. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And when someone just gets saved, they know a few things about the Bible, but they need someone to care. They need someone to tell them about it. They need someone that will get personally involved in their life. I know churches that they have a specific organized way of dealing with different things like this. And they basically allow one person to deal with one person for a 6 to 8 month period. And they say, "Well, I want to do 3 or 4. Now they realize that really adequately doing the job of investing in someone's life that it needs to be done so that they can grow and be a disciple, it really is difficult. Especially if you have a job and you have a family, you have other things going on, some other responsibilities perhaps in the church, to invest in more than one person or more than one family in a given period of time. So it's not that, well, there's these 3 people that'll do it. No, it's really the fact that many people in the church need to do that. It's not just about last week. We think about many people that come and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior all the time at Central Baptist Church. And they need somebody to realize that they have a ministry. They need someone to call them. They need someone to care for their soul. They need someone to go by their house and to bring them cookies. Not just to bring them cookies, okay? Although if you're in the mood, you can bring me some. That'd be fine. But just, "Hey, we're thinking about you. We care about you. Hey, you think there's a time next week we could come by and my pastor's wrote this building blocks book, and I'd like to help you look at it, understand a few things. Here's this lesson on baptism. Here's this lesson on assurance. Here's, and maybe we could spend 30, 40 minutes and do this." That's part of the ministry. It's so easy, and I fall in the same trap because the week's over, people make decisions, and now we've got to get back to our work. You know what I mean? I've got stuff to do. I didn't do it last week because we were here every night, and we get 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks out, and we think, "Oh yeah, remember that one guy? Yeah, that was a sharp couple. I wonder where..." And they're nowhere around. We get busy doing our stuff, but the reality is we leave off the most important of things. You know, I like making flyers and making them look sharp. But if that's all I do in a week, and I don't touch someone with the gospel, I don't follow up on someone that needs someone to follow up on, what's the point of a flyer? What's the point of a special song? What's the point of being ready for the nursery or being ready for this ministry or that ministry if I'm just running a ministry, running a program, and forgetting about people? We have this ministry, and it cannot be done by one person. And it is so quiet out there. I want you to understand. Somebody say amen. No, all right, good. I was wondering if you guys... Does everybody have their earphones in for the Super Bowl? Is that what the deal is? said, "Pastor Matt, what's your point?" This, and I'm done. I want to make you aware tonight of the ministry that we all have. You say, "Man, I can't do one more thing." No, this is, if that's the way you feel about it, then whatever it is that's on your plate, get rid of it, because this is where it's at. This is what it's about. Someone did it for you. As we have received mercy, we faint not. If we miss this, we miss it. If we miss this, in a handful of years or decades perhaps, there will be no Central Baptist Church. This is the ministry. This is why we meet, is to encourage one another, to grow, to be strengthened, so that we can walk with God, yes, but so that we can reach people fully and make disciples for the cause of Jesus Christ. We have a ministry. You say, "Pastor Matt, it's dark out there." It is. I understand that. But we have the light of the glorious gospel. And instead of running from it, instead of running with it, someone needs to stick a light in there and share the gospel. May our life match the message of the gospel, but may our mouth share the words of the gospel. It is the power of God into salvation. The gospel. Not my good life. My good life and my right life and my lifestyle will not save anyone. But when I share the gospel message with them, it is the power of God unto salvation. Let's bow our heads, if you would, please. Father, we just ask that you would work in the invitation as you see fit. And we'll give you the honor and glory for it.